This is Melissa Patrick for WKLM, and I am here with our state representative for Holmes County for the 98th District, Mark Heiner. And welcome, Mark. Thanks for coming in.
Hi. Thanks for having me in. It's good to be here, as always.
For sure. And, you know, we talked while you guys were working on your portion of the budget, and we told everybody, when things get settled, when the smoke starts to clear a little bit, we'll have you back in to see what shook out in the strainer and what stayed back behind.
That's a good way to describe it, actually.
I try to use good analogies here. So there's still some stuff to be done, but for the most part, you guys have got the budget. The governor has signed it. And aside from those few veto overrides you need to do, let's talk about what stuck and what is going to be a part of the next 2 years' budget. So do we want to start out with the elephant in the room, or do we want to start out with the mice around the elephant's feet?
Might as well start with the elephant in the room. That's going to be the Browns Project.
So the Browns Project that caused a lot of controversy, and there was a part of that that settled, and we'll just kind of touch on it quickly and move on to the next animal.
Yeah, because it just is what it is. For the record, I was never in favor of this. I don't like using public dollars wherever they come from for private projects. The Haslam Group could have done this on their own, but it was in the governor's budget. It was in the House budget. It was in the Senate budget. There was no way it was going to not be in there in the final version. It just is what it is. This is the problem with a budget. There's a lot of stuff in there I don't like. There's things in there I do like, but unfortunately, I don't get my way on everything. It's kind of an interesting idea using some of the money out of the unclaimed funds account. There's $4.8 billion in there, I think. And the truth of the matter is most of it will never get claimed. So, you know, putting to use in some fashion, I think, is probably appropriate. And don't anybody worry if you should go out and check to see if you have anything out there. I did, and there is some money out there from a long ago Verizon account that I have claimed. You might be in the same boat.
I have claimed unclaimed funds as well, so yep, definitely go out and
yep,
check.
Yep, there is a lot of stuff out there. And mine, and I looked years ago and wasn't out there. So this is something that has shown up within the last few years. So you need to keep checking from time to time. And I am going to look into trying to find a way to force them to notify people. Not quite sure how we would do that, but I think they could do a little better job trying to get that money back into the hands of who it belongs to. You know, a total of $1.7 billion will come out of there. It doesn't all come out at once. Comes out over time. And it is not just for the Browns. It will be for other sports teams. It will be for cultural facilities as well, theaters, opera houses, whatever it may be. So there, you know, it does go deeper than the Browns, and you know.
But they're getting the bulk of it.
Again, well, initially, yeah. At this point in time, you know, we don't know what'll come down the road. I know the Bengals are wanting to rework their stadium. Whether they'll be part of this eventually or not, I don't know. Again, I'm not a huge fan of it, but it's in there. And the good news is it does not take money out of the general revenue fund or school funding or anything else. So you could argue that this money could have been used for something else, but this is set up as a loan type of thing. Money comes back into it. It gets repaid eventually. And you can't really do that with school funding or other forms of government. So again, I'm not a fan, but
it's done.
It's in there. Yep. There were more people wanted it than didn't. And just didn't get my way on that one.
And unfortunately, you can't always get
and
your
I
way.
And I was rather vocal about it, to the point that they got tired of hearing from me. So I tried.
So now you know that your state rep is repping for you. That's what
I
want to hear.
You know, I kind of joked about it. I one of the proponents for it, I said, will there be a hitching post that we can tie a horse up? And he kind of looked at me. And I said, well, my district is largely Amish country. I said, and they're going to need a place to tie their buggy up. And he didn't understand the sarcasm at the beginning, but, you know, no one in this district wanted that project.
No.
You know, whether you were Amish or not, no one in this district wanted that project. So it just is what it is.
Let's step away from our elephant now. While you were talking, you did mention school funding. So how did things end up with school funding? I know there was you guys had a version. The Senate did something different.
Yep. Yep. Everybody had a different idea on how to do it. The House version scrapped Cup Patterson and utilized a formula where every district got at least some increase. Some get more than others. And that's the thing that people don't always realize. At the state level, there's language in the Constitution that requires uniformity. So we can't do cookie cutter things. We can't do something different for Holmes County than we do for Franklin. So it has to be the same applied statewide. So unfortunately, it makes it complicated because every school district and every county is different. They have different needs, different demographics, different challenges. So we got a formula in the House that gave everyone somewhat of a raise. The Senate version put Cup Patterson back in. The schools asked for that. They wanted it. We added $692 million on top of that. And that's what ended up in the final version. The unfortunate thing is about a third of the districts in the state lose money. Holmes County's districts were all fine. They all got increases of one form or another. In my district in Mount Vernon, they did get some cuts. So I had one district in my House district that lost a little bit of funding. But overall, the schools got some increases. There are some expansions of school choice. The maximum award for the autism scholarship and the John Peterson special needs scholarship went up a little bit. There's an option for parents whose children are in a non-chartered, non-public school can use an education savings account now that'll give them some tax advantages. And the state's home education tax credit is increased to $250 per child. It used to be per family. Now it's per child.
So those are definitely things the tax credit will help families. But the school funding was something that was everybody was looking at, everybody was talking about. And so it was interesting to see where it ended up shaking out at.
It's the biggest expense in the state. I don't remember who said this, but there was a legislator somewhere in the past that quipped that the state of Ohio medicates, educates, and incarcerates. Medicaid is the biggest expense in the state. Education is the second, and then running a prison system is the third. So it is a big expense in the state, and obviously an important expense. We need to have good, effective public schools. It's required in the Constitution. It has to be there, and we want them to all function well. So the challenge is, and this gets into the property tax thing a little bit, which we're going to talk about another day, but finding the balance of, you know, getting everybody what they need without putting a stranglehold on the taxpayers is the challenge.
It's a big challenge that you guys Absolutely. Are facing. That's a huge challenge. That's why we're going to talk about it another day, because that's part of those vetoes that you guys are discussing here. We're talking school funding. Let's go ahead. And there's a lot that you guys pass in the budget. So to keep time running, while we're talking school funding, something that goes along and families, something that goes along with it is SNAP. SNAP provides for families. And so there were some changes that you guys did include in the budget when it comes to SNAP.
Yep. There's a handful of things. We are now requiring Department of Job and Family Services to allow SNAP participants to call a customer service hotline to lock or unlock an EBT card that has been lost or stolen. Kind of hard to believe that we have to put that into law, but that's been a problem. That's just common sense that you should be able to do that.
How were they doing it before? That
apparently you could not always file a complaint that you had a problem with a card.
Huh.
We're requiring them to update some computer systems and improve their tracking and auditing. We are requiring them to monitor if a card has a balance over $5,000 and then check into it and find out why that money's not being used. Because that would be odd if you're on SNAP, the premise is you need some help. You're probably going to use that money. You're not going to let it sit there and accumulate. So if it's accumulating,
something's going on
that needs to be checked on. We are prohibiting Job and Family Services from seeking a waiver from work requirements that apply to able-bodied adults without dependents. So that'll, you know, that will require, well, it'll prevent them from preventing people from working if they're able.
There are lots of jobs available in the state that you can apply for. So they're there just waiting.
No, there are those. Employers are looking for people. There's a shortage of workers. And I've always believed that, you know, even though you are participating in some of these assistant programs, if you're able to work, why not let you? It provides a service for your community. You're going to generate some tax revenue that will help cover the expense of the programs that you're taking advantage of. Why would we not do that?
Exactly.
So one of the other things that was done with SNAP is we have excluded the purchasing of sugar sweetened beverages. The premise of that is, and the governor vetoed that, so we'll probably take a look at that in the fall for overturning that. Part of the premise of that is that if you're going and buying sugary soda and it's causing health problems for you, then you're coming back on the Medicaid side needing health care. So the taxpayers are paying for both sides of this equation, and we think that's a little silly. And, you know, we think it's maybe more appropriate that you're drinking healthier drinks.
And so is there anything, any other changes with SNAP that you guys were looking at doing or that we need to mention?
No, that was it.
With SNAP, let's kind of, I'm trying to keep on a related pattern here. Let's look at childcare, because that kind of goes along with families and all of that as well.
There were a number of items related to children and youth and childcare. We expanded, we established the Child Care Choice Program, which provides $100 million for eligible families, helping more Ohioans cover the cost of needed child care services. We've invested an additional $10 million in 2026 to create the Child Care CRED program, which allows child care costs to be split between your employer at 40%, the employee at 40%, and the Department of Children and Youth Services at 20%. So if you've got a kid in child care, instead of paying 100% of it, that would reduce you down, get you to 40%, which would be a big help for a lot of families.
That is a complaint that a lot of parents have as to why they need at least one to stay home, because the cost of childcare is so high.
It is a big problem, and it is keeping people out of the workforce. Again, we need workers, and when you've got families choosing to not work because the childcare cost is so high that they just choose to stay home, again, that's a person not providing a service in your community, not generating tax revenue. It's, you know, this hopefully will be helpful in getting some people back into the workforce, hopefully. There's also $3.2 million that establishes the Child Care Recruitment and Mentorship Grant Program, which hopefully will increase the number of child care providers in Ohio.
Also an issue.
That's also been a problem. Yeah, there are not enough places to go.
And I think that probably kind of helps contribute to the cost, because
sure,
it's supply and demand.
Supply and demand. Yep.
Yep. Common business.
Simple economics. On the side of supporting children and youth, there's increased support for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, which, if you don't know about that, do a Google search and look into that. The Dolly Parton Library will send books to you for your kids to read.
Free.
For free. Yep. There is no cost at all. And I don't remember the metrics. It's a big priority with the governor and his wife, Fran. But I think there's over half the kids in the state are getting books sent to them.
I think we're at like 40% here in Holmes County.
They're big numbers. And the goal, of course, is to reach everyone. So, you know, if you are not part of that and taking advantage of that, check into that, because that's a fantastic service for your kids.
In Holmes and Wayne County, that's through the United Way. You can find the sign up, or you can just go to the Dolly Parton Imagination Library's website. But the United Way in our area is who's really helping do the kick for that. And we actually do a radio-a-thon with them this fall, help them raise money for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library.
Yep.
So it's definitely a great program to get your kids involved in.
There's expanded funding for youth mental health services, foster care assistance. There's some $30 million in one-time funding to establish some regional child wellness campuses to help with short-term placements for kids in state custody or at risk of being in state custody. There's some additional money for Special Olympics, support for high school education of students with multiple disabilities, including autism and Down syndrome, protects children by prohibiting the Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections from licensing a halfway house, reentry center, or community residential center from operating within 500 feet of a school. Investment in the Ohio C program, which helps students who fail vision screenings in kindergarten through third grade receive comprehensive eye exams and, if needed, glasses. And that's, we experienced that in my own family. My grandson was playing T-ball, and the poor kid could not make contact with the ball. He was just having a heck of a time. And they, my daughter finally is like, I wonder if he needs glasses, and took him to the eye doctor. Sure enough, the kid's blind as a bat and he needed glasses. Put glasses on him and he can hit the ball like a champ. So that is, you know, that is an issue that, you know, people don't realize is happening. And again, you know, take advantage of that. If you can't see, you certainly aren't going to be able to read.
I didn't get glasses until after high school. It's like, oh, hey, I probably could have seen the board from the back of the room a lot better if I would have got glasses ahead of time. But
And the kids, you know, you don't realize this, but the kids don't know any different. That's the way their eyesight has always been. They assume it's normal. They don't know anything's wrong, so they don't say anything.
With the way kids are, some kids just don't want glasses because they don't want to be made fun of for wearing them.
Yep.
So they're not going to tell you, well, I can't read the board.
Right.
And everything's done on computers these days, so it kind of changes the way you look at eyesight and how your eyes are affected in school.
Yep. Yep.
So good to keep up on, though, for sure. Let's shift to mothers, babies, and families.
We've increased funding for the Help Me Grow program, which is a system of supports for pregnant women, caregivers with new babies, and families with young children. It includes $10 million per fiscal year for the Parenting and Pregnancy program, which provides grants to pregnancy resource centers. There is a $750 tax credit for pregnancy resource center donations. We're investing more than $1 million for perinatal resources for at-risk mothers and children in Northeast Ohio. And for dads, there is some money for Dads to Be, which is a Central Ohio nonprofit that provides aid to families in underprivileged communities to help them overcome poverty.
So those are definitely some good things to try to help some of these young, struggling families.
Absolutely.
We all know that there was a change in how the libraries are funded.
There was a lot of feuding over library funding. The governor proposed a big increase, which we just simply couldn't afford. So the House had a proposal to take them. Historically, the libraries have been a percentage of the general revenue fund. There's a blessing and a curse to that. As long as the general revenue fund is going up, the library funding goes up. But it doesn't always go up. And a couple of years ago, they got hit and they got decreased. So we felt it was more effective to put them into the budget as a line item so it doesn't change based on what the general revenue fund does. So
Which seems logical.
That was included. And then there was some additional investment. So the libraries for fiscal year 2026 will be funded at $478 million, in 2027, $488 million. So they're all getting a slight increase over the previous year. Their funding is up more than 20% from 2020. And we've gone back to 2020 because in that time period was where they got the decrease. So they're, you know, they're ahead of where they were 5 years ago, which was the goal, of course. So moving forward, their funding will be more stable.
So libraries are a very important part of our community.
They are. There's a lot of people that don't have internet access. That's where they get it, is by going to the library. Just having, you know, the programs that they have for kids, helping kids, you know, improve their reading skills and all that is a very important service that is needed now more than ever. So libraries are very important. We need to have them there. I will tell you, Ohio's libraries are among the best funded in the country. And Ohio is the only state that funds libraries with state money as much as we do in Ohio. So Ohio has been very supportive of libraries. And as far as I know, we will continue to be so.
That's good for all those folks who were concerned about how the library funding was going to go. And it's nice to have stable funding.
Yes.
Because you never know when the general fund is going to change.
Correct.
We've hit a lot of the big the big elephants now. Let's talk about you changed how the income tax is in the state.
Yes. Ohio will now have a flat tax. This was a Senate addition. We didn't do this in the House. This was the Senate's idea. I'm in favor of it because I'm in favor of eliminating the income tax altogether. This doesn't eliminate it, but it moves us in the right direction. So Ohio's top tax bracket was at 3.5%, and in 2026, it will go down to 2.75%. So it's going to be flat for everyone at 2.75. The goal will be to decrease that rate even lower as time goes on. But, you know, we'll take those changes as they come. But we're moving in the right direction. Having a low income tax is important for a number of reasons. A, you just don't want to pay, you don't want to pay more taxes than you have to. So, you know, I want to try to keep them as low as we can. The other big issue is when a business looks for a state to locate in, income tax is one of the things they look at. That's very important to them. And if you have a low income tax, you're more apt to get them than if you don't. So that's why we're, you know, trying to remain competitive in that area. A lot of states don't have an income tax at all. Florida, Tennessee, Texas. There are others. I can't name them all, but a lot of states don't have an income tax at all. And that's why I would like to move us there so we can remain competitive with those other states. It'll take time to get there. You can't. It's a lot of money that it generates. So you have to replace it with something from somewhere else, or you have to make cuts, and that takes time. So, but we are moving in the right direction. So I'm going to take that as a win.
We take wins where we can get them when it comes to taxes. And so you at least came to an agreement when it comes to income taxes. Like we mentioned earlier, property taxes is a whole different bear that we're going to talk about after you guys settle some of the disputes still happening.
Yep.
And so let's go ahead and talk about public safety, the State Highway Patrol. There's a couple things in those areas that you guys did some changes to in the budget.
Yeah, so in public safety, we added some support for law enforcement training in each of the fiscal years. There's help for local communities to offset costs associated with indigent defense through an increase of funding in each year. There's some funding for first responders treatment for PTSD and similar disorders.
Mental health is important.
You don't realize the things that our first responders have to deal with. Firefighters and the things they see in a fire scene.
Paramedics police, and the things they see. Police and the things they
paramedics,
see.
Medical personnel, the things they encounter. And you know, you need to remember, somebody calls 911 and there's been an accident, and these folks show up and they don't know what they're walking into. You know, if it's a domestic situation, those are the worst for police. You just don't know what's going to happen. And some of this stuff's pretty horrific. So, you know, it's important to have that support there for those folks, because we need those folks to be there.
They're coming in on what is potentially your worst time of your life.
Yes.
And they're helping you in that.
Right.
So they're right there with you.
Right. Yep. Yep. There is some additional money to lower the cost for Mark's radio fees, which, if most people probably aren't familiar with this, Mark's is the radio communication system that is used between all the first responders. And it's designed so that it crosses county lines and it crosses agency lines. So if you have a fire scene where you've got fire and EMS and police out there, you know, maybe emergency management personnel are there, all these folks can communicate with this radio system. That's a very important tool for them. Otherwise, communication breaks down and nobody knows what's going on. And that radio system is incredibly expensive.
It is not cheap at all.
No, the radios they use are outrageous. They're all software driven at this point. It's all proprietary. And there's two companies that provide this stuff. And it's just very expensive. So, you know, this will be helpful, you know, for those increasing costs. There's some additional money for narcotics task forces. There's some money for drug abuse response team grants. And there is some money for the Ohio Narcotics Intelligence Center. All right. And additionally, there will be some changes for the State Highway Patrol. They are funded from license plate registrations, and they have not had an increase since 2003. So there will be an additional $5 on a license plate registration, and that money will all go towards State Patrol funding for everything that they do. The State Patrol does a lot of stuff that you don't realize behind the scenes. You know, they don't just write tickets on the freeway. There are all kinds of, you know, government security services they provide and investigation. They do most of the crime scene investigation work in the state and a lot of the crash scene investigation across the state.
And we're lucky enough, we have them almost every week come down and talk safety with us as well. So, yep. You know, we have an active post in our area for sure.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's they do good work. I feel they're deserving of an increase. So that was in there. I know nobody likes increases, but unfortunately the cost of everything is going up. And they are understaffed compared to where they were historically. I can't quote you the numbers, but the number of officers they have is down.
Yes. I was talking to the lieutenant about that the other day on where they would be fully versus where they are today.
Yeah.
And there's a lot less now than there were.
Yeah.
Prior.
Yep.
On what would be considered full staff.
Yep.
State Highway Patrol getting a little bump in their budget.
Yep.
The one last thing that I think that we had talked about ahead of time that we haven't mentioned is ag, which is the biggest thing here in our area.
Which we probably should have mentioned first.
Save the best for last.
Yeah, you know? There you go. So there's a couple of things in here for the agriculture industry. There's some funding for Future Farmers of America and the Urban Agriculture Program, which promotes sustainable farming in urban communities throughout Ohio. There's continued support for H2 Ohio, which promotes best farming practices and improves access to clean drinking water. For smaller producers, there's updates to the commercial feed law that simplifies that fee structure and registration structure. It removes the minimum fee and exempts the first 200 tons of feed sold. There are exemptions for egg producers with 500 or fewer birds from food processing establishment regulations. And there is some pork marketing program funding to ensure that the sale of pork products continues to be promoted. So those are all positive things for the ag community.
For sure. And I think that probably affects everybody in this county.
Absolutely.
On what you've done.
Absolutely.
We've used H2 Ohio funds for different projects. We have chickens and eggs and a lot of livestock in our area.
I think we check all the boxes in Holmes County for agriculture practices.
I think we do. Yep. So the folks who work in the agricultural industry here in our area should be definitely glad to hear all of that. We've got some strong FFA programs. So all good things.
Yep.
So we talked about a lot of the highlights. Obviously, we're not going to hit every little thing on the budget because that was like, 9,000 pages or so?
I think it was under 4,000 by the time it all got finalized. But yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of moving parts in there for sure.
So we're just touching base on the big ones. Like I said, we'll talk property taxes on another day because it's a whole nother beast. But is there anything else you want to talk about with the budget that maybe didn't get in or things that you think folks need to know about that maybe because it isn't in the budget, you're going to keep working on it elsewhere?
I do have something that I will share. We had a call from a cabinet shop here in town or in here in the county, and I won't name them. I won't throw them under the bus publicly. The cabinet shops that spray lacquers and things have to pay an EPA fee because it emits some toxins into the air. Typically, that fee's been about $200 in the past, so it's not been a big deal. Well, EPA hasn't had a fee increase for 52 years.
And they're doing it all at once.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's in agreement that they need an increase, but the way they structured this, and it's a class called synthetic miners, and it's M-I-N-O-R, not digging for gold miner.
Sounds like they might be trying to.
on the EPA part for sure. So they changed the structure and instituted a $5,000 base fee.
That's a huge increase.
In addition to an increase in the fee. So it was going to drive their cost to almost $6,000. So that's outrageous. And we tried to do an amendment in the House version that got kicked out for some reason. We talked with the Senate and tried to get it put into the Senate version, and it made it into the Senate version, but there was a problem in it. it got applied, the language got written incorrectly, and it applied to a group of people that it wasn't supposed to, that caused an even bigger problem than we had to begin with. So it ended up getting taken out. So at the moment, that fee increase is still in there. We are going to try to get it changed. We'll have to do a bill and run it through the process. But, you know, we're going to do that to try to get that fixed, because that's, I'm going to start by seeing if we can work with EPA to get them to make some adjustments. I'm guessing they won't. So we'll do the legislative way and do it that way. But I'm going to continue to try to fight to get that fixed.
That's wrong.
It affects every county in the state. There are, and here it's cabinet shops. Someplace it's, you know, it's other types of vendors, but it's a problem that needs to be addressed. So
you can't increase fees like that.
It's
detrimental to the economy.
And it's one of the problems with state government is there's no structure for gradual increases. Everybody just kind of plods along at their fee structure until they run out of money, and then they come to the legislature and say, oh, you know what? We ran out of money. We need an increase. So, and then, you know, typically we would give it to them if it's appropriate. We really ought to, every few years, we ought to be making a small adjustment so that it goes up gradually over time, so you don't get hammered with big increases. And it happens everywhere, in every agency.
In our town where I lived when I was on the Board of Public Affairs, we realized that our water was in the red and where the funding was, and we worked with RCAP. And when they gave us different plans to choose from, and the plan we chose added a 1% increase every year to account for the cost increases and everything. And so that's already built into the ordinance of the water rates.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry if you're not relooking at it every year. It's automatically increasing that 1%.
Right. Yep. Now, it's a little harder to do in state government, but I'm going to...
I am
looking into how we could do that. And the flip side of it is I don't want to force those fees up any higher than they have to be either. So...
Right.
I'm trying to figure out where the happy medium is.
You're trying to be the squeaky wheel without being too squeaky.
Yeah, correct. I'm all about keeping fees as low as possible.
Exactly. And I'm sure all these businesses are more than willing to back you on that one.
Yep, for sure.
Is there anything else that you want to mention that had to do with the budget?
Are we
going to lay it down till property taxes?
I think that's it for now. I'm looking forward to having the property tax discussion. There's a lot to that. There's some good things happening there, but there's a lot of problems. So.
And it's been a topic of discussion for years. I remember talking about it with Representative Kick when he would come in and talk. So it's definitely not a new subject, and it's one that's been talked and toyed and thrown around a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's coming to head now.
No, it is, and there's a lot of reasons why. There's a lot of work to do to get things back under control. They've gotten out of control. We need to get it reined in and get control of it. And
it's another one of those fees that are going up way too much.
Yep. Yep.
We need to say hey.
Yep. When every once in a while we'll get a call into the office from somebody that, you know, is telling us a story that they can't afford their home anymore because the taxes have gone up so much. And they're looking at having to sell their home and move elsewhere.
And when you've paid for your home, that's wrong.
It is. Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely wrong.
That should never happen.
I am 100% there, but we got to find a happy medium.
Yep.
Just absolutely. Like with the EPA fees.
Yep. Yep.
So we'll have that discussion. You'll definitely want to stay tuned here on WKLM for that, because that's upcoming. You guys just got to settle things in the legislature first.
And I guess I will say in parting that, you know, if you heard something today that didn't sound right, or you've got more questions, or maybe something you have a question about that we didn't touch on, because there are a lot of things in the budget. There aren't enough hours in the day for us to talk about all of them.
We'd be all day Mark Heiner and Melissa Patrick Radio on WKLM.
Yeah, yeah. But please reach out to my office, which you can do by email at rep98@ohiohouse.gov, or you can call at 614-466-2994. You won't get me, you'll get my aide. You send the email, I'll see it, but you call, you'll get my aide, and he'll help you if he can, and if not, he'll grab me, and we will help you get an answer to whatever your question is.
And he is well versed in what's going on and what you're working on.
Yeah. No, I'm very fortunate. I've got a very good aide. He is on top of things and he's very knowledgeable. He had worked in Rep. Kick's office, so he knows the district and he knows the people in the district and he knows state government pretty well. He knows who to call, who to ask, where to get answers to things. And it is, state government's it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room and a lot of days trying to, you know, I'm beating my head against the wall trying to get answers to things that just ought to be simple.
And as a first-year representative, there's a lot of learning curve that you're working through as well.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for coming in and joining with us and talking about all of this stuff today. Like I said, we'll be speaking again soon after you guys settle the property tax vetoes and veto overrides and things that are happening. And so thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That was your State Representative Mark Heiner of the 98th District. And for WKLM, I'm Melissa Patrick.